Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. The Heisman Trophy gets awarded tomorrow, Tony. What's the highest honor you've ever received?
From Tony Kornheiser, AARP Magazine's Mr. November 2018.
That's good. Yeah. I got a copy of that somewhere. I got to get you to sign it.
Love to sign it. Sign it right in the middle over my naked chest. Happy to sign it that way.
I'm not going to mention the staples.
Burt Reynolds. We're doing Burt Reynolds all the way back and Cosmopolitan, I think. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, the Lakers lose, Ohio State had the flu, and Rutgers takes down number one Purdue. But we begin today with the most confounding team in football, the Minnesota Vikings. They ran out to a 29-0 lead over Pittsburgh in the third quarter last night, then held on for dear life as the Steelers just missed a touchdown pass on the final play that could have led to overtime. Well, my Minnesota won, but is this a win they should be proud of?
Yeah, won. That's all. That's what matters, and particularly in pro football where you have so few games, Tony. And the players were unbelievably in their post-game comments, their live post-game comments. Their shoulders just sank, and they knew they had survived something. They knew they had not played their greatest game. They know their stuff to work on this week if they are to get to the playoffs. They indicated all of that in live time, and I thought that was really good. Nobody went out there and said, even though you could make the case, a win is a win, and we don't care what you say, and they weren't, you know, absurd like those Buffalo Bills players from a week ago. And they said, you know, we won the game, but. And I liked everything about the way the Vikings conducted themselves after the game. Yeah, they ought to be proud.
I don't know that they have to be proud. I just think I would concentrate on the fact that they won. It's been hard for them to win. You have to look at the games they've played this year. They've played a total of 13 games. 12 of the 13 games were decided by 8 points or fewer. And they're 5-7 in those games, which means they haven't learned anything. They've learned absolutely nothing by these close games. You'd think they would have gotten better. They usually play just well enough to lose in some heartbreaking fashion late. Last night, they played just well enough to win in what could have been some heartbreaking fashion late. It's who they are, and it must be very difficult to be on that team because, honestly, Mike, they should have a much better record. They're better than their record.
Well, Tony, the game they lost to the Cardinals early on where somebody, you know, the kicker misses like a 3-yard field goal, and you're like, oh, my God, at the end of the game. I mean, the Cardinals ought to have another L hanging on their record. But the point you made that's the most important point, I think, Tony, is this is who they are. This is what happens. They're likely to go through their final whatever's left, 5 games. They're likely to go through those games and have similar, if not identical, circumstances. That's hard to live with. But if they can conquer this for a couple more weeks, it'd be okay to live with. It'd be productive. They could get to the playoffs.
12 out of 13 games have ended this way for them. Something close and tight. Let me go to Pittsburgh for a second. Because I know yesterday you said that the loser was out. I don't know that the loser is out. The AFC, the best record is 4 losses. So 6-6-1 doesn't necessarily put
it's
you out.
But
I think we agree on this. Pittsburgh, New Orleans, and Seattle. 3 perennial playoff teams. Very likely not to make. Very likely not to make.
That's
and you wonder what happens with Roethlisberger. Roethlisberger has been there longer than Tomlin, and Tomlin's been there forever. You wonder.
18 years. I mean, it's okay. If he's done, it's okay. Pick up your gold jacket in Canton, and, you know, I'm sure there's a ring that goes with it, too. I mean, seriously, I'm not going to weep for Ben Roethlisberger. His career's been too great. And he's not, and as you said, Tony, he's not out of it yet. It seemed pretty clear that Michigan was better than Ohio State 2 weeks ago when they played, but Buckeyes quarterback C.J. Stroud wonders whether the game deserves a caveat. Stroud says his team was hit hard by the flu. He himself even had it. He said it isn't an excuse, but, quote, you got to kind of take that into consideration. It kind of does matter, close quote. Tony, does it?
Okay, so I'm going to the glasses, because I'm going to read you a quote from Blake Corum, a running back from Michigan, when he heard this thing by Mr. Stroud. And he says, quote, excuses are the tools of incompetence. used to build bridges to nowhere and monuments of nothingness. And those who use them seldom specialize in anything else. And then, of course, he says, go blue. That's
what is
great.
It, English major? That's it absolutely, must be an English major. That's got to be
I'm sure
it.
it's somebody else's quote, I'm sure. But it's really a good usage of it. Because what he is essentially saying to C.J. Stroud and all of Ohio State is, enjoy the Rose Bowl. We're in the playoffs. Right? What I would say to Mr. Stroud is simple. Well, against did you have the flu against Oregon also when you lost at home to that one, which gave you, now gives you two losses? I'm willing to believe, Mike, that Ohio State is one of the four best teams in the country. I'm willing to believe that. But their resume says they're not good enough for the playoffs because they lost twice. That's the way it is. That's just the way it is.
I don't want to hear it. He says it's not an excuse. Of course, you're using it as an excuse. This is one of those deals where if you're a teammate, you know, people like to just sort of intrude on every single interview now. Somebody can't have a post-game session with a reporter without five dudes coming in to dap him up and rub his face and pour some Gatorade. You know, somebody should have done that with this kid. And they should have said, hey, CJ, you sound sort of like a fool right now. We've all done this. No big deal. We're going to save you from yourself. What was that, Chuck Barris, where they used to get the big cane and drag you off stage?
The Don Show, before you could embarrass yourself. Not to know.
CJ.
Yeah. There's worse thing. You know, like, people are living with COVID, which is much worse than an ordinary flu, it seems to me. And he said, well, I don't make excuses. And you want to say, but you are.
He does. Then he makes an excuse.
Stop.
That's all he did. Yeah.
Let's move on. The Lakers lost last night to Memphis without Ja Morant. This was the very next game after the Lakers beat the Celtics, which was viewed as a turning point victory. Anthony Davis said after the Memphis loss, and I quote, we've got to play like we're the underdogs. Teams want to come in here and beat the Lakers, beat LeBron, beat AD, beat Melo. They want to say, I gave the Lakers 30, 25, whatever, unquote. Well, Bon, is Davis right that the Lakers have to play like underdogs?
Yes. I thought that was a really good analogy, a good way to put it. Well said to AD, but chances are unlikely they're going to do that. Those guys individually haven't felt like underdogs. Are you kidding me? AD has probably felt like an underdog because he was on New Orleans when they were underdogs. The rest of them, there's like seven dudes going to the Hall of Fame. Seven dudes on that team, Tony. Hall of Fame. So when they look around that locker room before they walk out, they're not feeling like underdogs. They're feeling like the Hall of Famers they are. And so, no, it's not going to work. Again, well put by Anthony Davis. If they could play with that spirit, if they could find that, I think it would serve them well, but I just don't think it's going to happen.
You are 100% right. The people on the Los Angeles Lakers expect other teams to cower in their presence. Yes. Most of these guys have multiple rings. They're never, ever, ever going to think of themselves for one second as an underdog against anybody. Let me tell you something. They should be underdogs. Because here's what they haven't, they're no good, okay? They have, they're a 500 team. They're a 500 team, and they haven't gotten there with great swings like Houston. They were 3-3 and 5-5 and 8-8 and 10-10, 11-11, 12-12, 13-13. They're a rock solid 500 team. And that's all they are. I will take exception to Anthony Davis just in this, when he says people want to beat AD and they want to beat Melo. Beat Melo, everybody beats Melo. Melo ain't got no rings. He's been beating Melo for years.
He's got a ring from Syracuse.
Just because you stand next to LeBron doesn't make you LeBron, Anthony Davis. No. That's not how it works. And then you know what? They're a 500 team.
Tony, they're a 500 team. What did I write down? Oklahoma City tonight, who they've lost to twice already. They got OKC
again. One other thing, Mike.
Again.
If it was so great to be an underdog, as you mentioned, when he was in New Orleans, he wouldn't have wanted to go to L.A. and put on a shirt that said, that's all, folks. Let's take a
break. But surely you sort of agree with them. They got to play with that spirit, the underdog
spirit. Rutgers last second upset of number one Purdue.
They played like underdogs and they won. Gino Auriemma, speaking of people who doesn't know anything about being an underdog, Gino, was really tough on his UConn team in his post-game comments. How seriously should we take Mr. Gino?
Coach, they're a classic 500 team. That's
what
they are, is a 500 team.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Time to get it on with Lexicon. And what's the word? What's first?
It's blank that Rutgers upset number one Purdue.
It's predictable. It's early in the season. Somebody gets to number one. You don't know why they're there, and then they get knocked off. You could have done this yesterday. I asked you, were you smelling upset? And you said no. You should have said yes. This is the first time Purdue has ever been number one ever. And their reign lasted 3 days. Right, 3 days at number one. And they're the fifth team of all time to get to number one and lose the very next game that they had. So good for Ron Harper Jr. He's a little bit inside the half-court line, takes a very nice push shot, and it goes in. Good for Rutgers.
Great.
You know, good for everybody. You know, what's important to know is that you don't even know how Purdue got to be number one. If this happens in late February or March, it's a bigger deal.
Tony, this is affirmation, all right? Affirmation of what I was saying the last 2 weeks, not of yesterday's game, because I didn't sniff out the upset. But
no,
here's what I
not.
Sniffed out last week and this week and told you, and we can get the clip, even told you on your podcast. There's going to be, I said there were going to be 10 number ones this year by the time we got to the tournament. I underbid. Tony, there's going to be 12 or 13 of these things because every week is going to change. Nobody's that great. This is not like the early 90s with UNLV or Duke. This isn't that. There's a lot of interesting teams. You know what it's like, Tone? It's like the NFL season and the NBA season. This thing is going to move a lot. There are a lot of good teams out there in college basketball, and they're going to switcheroo. Affirmation of me telling you weeks ago.
Next.
Gino Auriemma's comments after UConn's loss to unranked Georgia Tech were blank.
They were gloomy. This is the first time UConn lost to an unranked team, I believe, since 2012. This is 239 games, and I put on the glasses to quote Gino, quote, "We are disorganized as a group right now, from the coaching on down. There is no sense of having a plan of how we're going to execute, how we're going to get a bucket. Who's going to get it for us?" And he said it wasn't just because Paige Beckers was out. He said his team was disheveled, and he wasn't optimistic. He said, "I don't think it's going to get fixed. I really don't." Now, some coaches would say that, Mike, to light a fire under their team. Gino Auriemma doesn't have to do that. He's got 11 championships. Let's review who else has 11 championships. Phil Jackson. Anybody else? No. That's it. That's the list. So if Gino Auriemma is concerned about this team, I think that's legitimate concern. Mike, I watched the last 8 minutes of that game last night, and UConn missed every shot they took. Some of them did not even hit the rim. Did not hit the rim.
Tone, all that's fine, but it's dismissible. That's the word. This is just like your old mentor, Larry Brown. I would go cover games in the 90s even, and I'd be there, and Larry, after a game, would be despondent, just like Gino, and you would think they were never going to win a game, and they would tell you, I don't know if we can win a game this season. And I would call you, and I would say, Larry's having a breakdown, your old counselor, your old coach, and you would say, I want you to hear me now.
That's who he is.
Don't ever listen to Larry immediately after a game. Gino, are you kidding me?
No.
Not fixable?
Maybe you're
right. You know I don't bet, right? I would go to Vegas right now and bet that Gino and his staff will fix it. And Paige Bueckers being out is not a small deal. She may be the best player in college basketball. It's dismissible. Yeah. They're going to be great as usual.
Listen carefully.
Not as usual.
You may be right. I may be wrong. We may be crazy.
Okay.
Let's take one last break. Still to come, the NCAA addresses fake quarterback slides. I hope flagging them. Can't do it.
USA Basketball has reportedly picked a successor to Greg Popovich as head coach. You know one thing that Ron Harper Jr. can't beat his father in? Still can't beat him on the golf course, all right? Because dad is giving strokes. Ron Harper on the golf course will take you down.
Is that right? Is he that good?
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Happy time, people. Happy 25th birthday, Joe Burrow. Sneaky old for a guy in his second season, no? In fact, Burrow is older than Lamar Jackson, who is in his fourth season and has already been the league MVP. That is what is expected of Burrow. Cincinnati made Burrow the overall number one pick in 2020 after Burrow led LSU to the national championship with a 15-0 record, and Burrow threw 60 touchdown passes and only 6 interceptions. Now, I think he'll be great, but this season he has 23 touchdowns and 14 interceptions, which leads the league and isn't good. He dislocated his right pinky in last Sunday's loss to the Chargers, but he's expected to play this Sunday against the 49ers. The Bengals were 2-7-1 in games Burrow started before getting hurt last year. They're 7-5 now, and if the playoffs started today, they'd be in them, and that is real progress. The Bengals' last 4 games are against AFC teams, so Burrow has the playoffs on his racket.
Also, Tony, a happy 65th birthday to our dear friend and longtime colleague, Timmy Kirkchen, recently elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame, and what a class he went in with.
Mr. Avocado, by the way. Kirkchen's crazy about avocados.
That is such a
demerit. Happy anniversary, Ahmad Rashad. On this day 49 years ago, when he was still known as Bobby Moore, Rashad caught what turned into a 98-yard catch and run from St. Louis Cardinals quarterback Jim Hart. Rashad was dragged down at the 1-yard line by a Rams defender, making this the longest non-touchdown pass in NFL history. If you watch the clip, you will see Rashad going almost completely across the width of the field as he tries to find an open path to the end zone. And you'll see it was a horse collar tackle that brought Rashad down.
Horse collar.
That's illegal now, but even so, after the penalty, Rashad would have been given progress to the half-yard line. It wouldn't have been a touchdown. As we know, Rashad has had a great career in television. He's so pleasant. On a personal note, he was once in a foursome behind me at Atlantic Golf Club in the Hamptons. That's a great track.
Of the thousands of people in the sports industry who've had decades and they've done all sorts of things, you could sit with them and you want to have them as a dinner companion. Thousands of people. In my top 3 is Ahmad Rashad, who I've been lucky enough, birthday twin, to be able to sit and listen to Ahmad. Just a wealth of stories and a wonderful dude. And what an anniversary that is.
Do you remember where he played in college? You remember the school? It's Oregon.
Washington.
Pretty sure. Oh, I think it's Oregon.
Oregon. Phil Knight, Oregon. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. A melancholy trails to Demaryius Thomas. The Denver Broncos Pro Bowl wide receiver and Super Bowl champion died at his home suddenly at just 33. Thomas had just retired this past June. Thomas was a first-round pick by the Broncos in 2010 and finished his career with the second most receiving yards in team history. Thomas was a favorite target of Peyton Manning and had at least 90 receptions and 1,300 yards in 4 straight seasons with Manning. Thomas caught Manning's 509th career touchdown pass, which set the NFL record at that time. Manning said of Thomas, quote, DT was a better person than he was a player, and he was a Hall of Fame player.
That news just came as a jolt, Tony. It just did. And I was wondering, I knew that Peyton Manning was sort of lend some perspective, and with Peyton, it always seems to be proper perspective, and thankfully he did that.
and also a melancholy trails to Al Unser Sr., the four-time winner of the Indianapolis 500 and a member of the International Motorsports Hall of Fame, died yesterday at 82. The Unser family is legendary at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Al's son, Al Jr., won the race twice, making them the only father and son to win the race. Unser's late brother, Bobby, won the race three times, making them the only brothers to do so. Unser first won the Indy in 1970 and last won it in 1987 at age 47, making him the oldest winner. Unser, A.J. Foyt, Rick Mears, and Helio Castroneves are the only four-time champions. Unser retired in 1994 as the all-time lap leader in Indianapolis history.
Tony, the Unsers and the Foyts. I mean, how you can't talk about racing, and particularly Indy, without talking about them and their family histories. And it just seems impossible. He was 82 years old, but a full life lived.
Absolutely. Have you ever covered that race? I did it once.
Yes.
It was great fun.
Absolutely.
Let's go to the big finish. USA Basketball is reportedly selecting Steve Kerr as its next coach. I assume that's good with you.
More than just good with me, Tony. That's a great choice, Steve Kerr. The NCAA told referees, blow the whistle on any fake quarterback slides from now on. That makes sense, doesn't it?
I wanted them to drop a flag on it. They're just going to put the guy down
right,
where he
down
begins
right
to look like he's going to slide. I think that should be a penalty. Deliberate deception like that, I think that's a penalty. The NCAA suspended Bruce Pearl 2 games over the Auburn recruiting scandal, but no postseason ban. Your thoughts?
My eyes glazed right over NCAA and penalties. They're meaningless. Army-Navy tomorrow at the Meadowlands, not Philly. You excited for that? You're always excited for that game.
This is a great spectacle. When people from the Naval Academy march in, when people from the Military Academy march in,
big deal.
Your heart beats. It's
just,
it's wonderful to watch, and it's often a good game. Last one, Penguins and Capitals tonight. Who you got?
The Penguins are off form. They're like in fourth place in their division. They're just sort of So I'm going to revel in anybody beating the Penguins. In this case, the Caps. I'll take the Capitals.
Be the Caps. We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. Happy birthday tomorrow, Elizabeth.
Yeah, Lizzie. Make dad, sure dad get you something expensive.